From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes, self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative healthcare, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio. My guest today, Dr. Deepak Chopra, author, speaker, and of course he is one of the world's proponents of innovative combination of Eastern and Western healing. The author of Creating Health, Return of the Rishi, Quantum Healing, Perfect Health, Unconditional Life, and his newest book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, which is the quantum alternative to growing old. It'll be out July of 1993 with Harmony Books. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chopra.
Hi, thank you. It's out. It's already in the bookstores.
All right. Why don't you tell us just a little bit, tell our audience a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine.
Ayurvedic medicine is based on a system of healthcare that goes back to ancient times, 6,000 years ago, and it's based on the idea that we are part of nature's intelligence, that the same intelligence that is part of nature is also part of our own physiology, that if we align the intelligence in our body with the intelligence of nature, we can achieve a state of perfect health. And health is not just the absence of disease or infirmity. It's a state of positive well-being where we feel emotionally and physically and spiritually alive, and every moment of our experience is one of joy and fulfillment, and we feel vital and energetic and enthusiastic, and where we can even begin to handle the aging process and create a body that doesn't age, or at least we can have an influence on the aging process by creating a timeless mind.
You started, I guess, many years ago as just a standard, and I don't mean the word standard meaning that you were just a doctor, but you actually went through the regular experience of being quite a doctor treating cancer, among other things. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a conventional MD. My subspecialization is endocrinology and metabolism, and I was practicing standard Western medicine, except it was very frustrating because in Western medicine, we don't really think in terms of cure. We think in terms of treatment, how we can alleviate symptoms, but we don't really get to the underlying reason why a person has the disease, and therefore it's mainly symptomatic. And even as we treat illness, we sow the seeds of illness for the future.
When did you actually become involved with Ayurvedic medicine?
1980, about 13 years ago now, 14 years ago. And it came about because I was feeling frustrated. I felt like a drug pusher. I would ask myself at the end of the day, what is it that I have achieved today, other than writing prescriptions for tranquilizers and sleeping pills and antibiotics? So I was looking for a better way to do things. I would tell my patients, you need to lose weight, you need to stop smoking, you need to stop drinking so much, you need to manage stress in your life, you need to improve relationships. And they would say, well, you know, my mother-in-law says the same thing. She doesn't charge me $50. What do I do? How do I do it? And I felt very frustrated because although we know all the right things that our patients should do, we do not have the techniques to make them want to do them and also to make them do them effectively. So I went back to my own country, India, and looked up some of the ancient traditions, spent time with scholars and teachers and sages, and I learned a lot about Ayurveda, and as I learned about it, I began to write about it.
Now, your first book, as I recall, was Quantum Healing. Is that correct?
Actually, that was my third book. My first book was Creating Health, The Mind-Body Connection. The second book was Return of the Rishi, which was my own story of spiritual transformation. The third book was Quantum Healing. The fourth book was Perfect Health. The fifth book was Unconditional Life. And now the present book is Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. I think we've gone through four phases in this whole revolution of the mind-body connection. The first one is prevention. The second one is wellness or health, which is more than the absence of disease. The third one is the whole area of biological longevity, the realization that the human potential is much more than we ever envisioned, that we can be 110, 120, 130, and still be in good health and have vitality and energy. And the fourth phase is still to come. It will be that when old age becomes the springboard for creativity, for affluence, for rejuvenation.
You have positioned yourself as a right in the forefront of this particular revolution in the mind-body connection, because as I recall, when you first came out, there were only a few people talking about this mind-body. Now, most of the physicians are beginning to move in this direction. You're already on ageless body and timeless mind.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the National Institute of Health recently appointed a special panel to study alternative medicine, and they did ask me to be one of the members of that panel. So I think mind-body medicine and prevention and wellness are becoming mainstream. And since they have or are becoming mainstream, I thought, let's move on to the next frontier.
Let's talk a little bit then about this idea of aging. What is the problem?
The problem is that we have deep-seated beliefs about aging that are not based on fact, and beliefs become biology. For example, almost everybody believes that aging is fatal, and yet if you look at the scientific data, you'll find that nobody ever dies of old age. They die of diseases that accompany old age, and all these diseases are preventable. Almost everybody believes that aging is irreversible, and yet if you look at the scientific data, you'll find that human beings can reverse their biological markers of aging. There are 12 to 13 biological markers of aging, such as blood pressure, bone density, body temperature regulation, sugar levels in the blood or sugar tolerance, strength of muscles, fat content in the body, aerobic capacity, cholesterol levels, and muscle mass. All these biological markers, and then hearing and vision and sex hormones, all these biological markers of aging can be reversed by a variety of methods, including some exercise techniques, breathing techniques, removing toxins from the body, the use of antioxidants, the use of certain nutritional strategies, mind-body techniques, and also a change in environment. So the fact that aging is irreversible is not true. Not even in other species it's not true, but particularly in human beings it's not true. Then there is the myth that aging is normal, but nobody has defined what normal aging is. Some people are old biologically when they're chronologically 20. Other people are young biologically, even though their age as measured by years is very old. Then people believe that aging has a genetic component, but it's not really true. If your parents live to be over the age of 80 years, that adds only about 3 years to your life. But how you think, how you behave, and how you eat can add 30 to 50 years of quality time to your life. People believe that aging is universal, that everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yet there are biological organisms in nature, microorganisms, protozoa, amoebae, plant species that never age. The human being has that capacity. We are the only species in nature who are conscious of the fact of aging. Therefore, once we are conscious of or aware of something, we can influence it. We are the only species who can consciously influence our biology by how we think. We know that, you know, we can release a flood of hormones of anxiety when we have the experience of anxiety. We can release a flood of hormones of anti-cancer drugs and positive chemicals, healing chemicals, by experiencing joy and exhilaration. People believe that aging is fatal, is painful. Not true. The pain comes from diseases that are preventable. So in this book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, I sought to dismantle the beliefs that we have about aging because they are not based on scientific fact. And once we change our beliefs, our experience of our body will change because to a very great extent, our beliefs influence biology. I've divided the book into five sections where I offer theory and then practical exercises so that gradually, step by step, people learn the steps to active mastery and begin to learn how to reset the biological clock so that they have the experience of ageless body and timeless mind.
Maybe we could give an example of one of the markers, and you mentioned high blood pressure. That seems to be the one that almost everyone, as they move into older age, begin to suffer from. Perhaps we could use that as an example, and maybe you could just give us a rough idea of how you treat that.
Sure. One should, first of all, look at societies where that doesn't happen. You know, the Mabans of Tanzania, certain Bushman tribes in Africa, they do not get high blood pressure with the aging process. And there are many things that will reduce blood pressure. You know, meditation is one of the most effective ways to prevent the biological marker of blood pressure from going up as people age. In fact, it's known that people who meditate for twice a day for 20 minutes for approximately 5 years, their biological markers, such as blood pressure for one thing, are 12 years younger than their chronological age. That, you know, a person who says is a 5-year meditator at the age of 40 will have a blood pressure of somebody who's 28 in normal society. And blood pressure is, of course, influenced by diet as well. There's a Tufts University study that was just completed a few years ago where they took people who were in the ages from the youngest person in that study was 87 years old. The oldest person was 96. And they put them on a weight training and aerobic exercise program. And all 13 biological markers of aging, including blood pressure, but more importantly, things like bone density, basal metabolic rate, and body temperature regulation, and all the other things that I mentioned, reversed completely, including hormone levels, and that includes sex hormones, you know, which are very good biological markers of aging.
Now, you've been featured in many newspapers, you've given many seminars. Certainly, with all of this information as an author, there's probably a lot of information that you have that people don't normally hear about. Maybe you could give us some ideas about your philosophy on life, for example.
Well, I think the most important thing in life is to have active mastery over your life. And that active mastery doesn't mean having power and control over others, but having complete autonomy over your own life and the circumstances of your life. In other words, right this moment and every moment of my life, I'm writing the script of the drama that is my own life. And people who have active mastery have certain characteristic features. For example, and there are, I would say, 10 features to achieving a life of active mastery. The first one is that people with active mastery are able to get in touch with their spiritual essence, the spirit being a real force, as real as gravity or time, equally as abstract, incomprehensible, mysterious, but much more powerful. When you get in touch with your spirit, then you get in touch with the creative core of your life, and you begin to realize that your mind, your body, and your life experiences spring forth from this creative essence, and you've achieved a state of mastery you have never known before. Second point, people with active mastery are able to deal with toxins in their life. There are many toxins we are exposed to every day. Toxic environments, toxic food, toxic drink, toxic air, toxic smoke, toxic relationships, toxic emotions. And, you know, you can't get away from all these toxins, but you can influence how you deal with them. And when you deal with them effectively, you don't generate toxins in your body. The toxins that are generated in your body come about through similar mechanisms, whether it's toxic environment or toxic relationship or toxic emotion. People with active mastery also have shed the need for approval, and that they're not egocentric. It is the ego that seeks approval and needs to control and have power. People with active mastery realize that power and the need to control and the need for approval are fear-based strategies that the ego develops. And when you don't have fear, then you don't need power or don't need control and don't need approval. People with active mastery use the mirror of relationship for their own evolution, understanding that those that we love and those that we hate are both mirrors of ourselves. Those that we love, we are seeking in them something that we desire. Those that we hate, we are denying in ourselves what these people are reflecting to us. People with active mastery therefore use the spirit as their internal reference point, not their ego. people in active mastery are body-centered. They are sensuous and sensual. They recognize that the body sends us two types of messages, the message of pleasure and the message of pain, the message of comfort, the message of discomfort. And when we change our behavior so that we maximize the experience of comfort, then we are making right choices. People with active mastery are centered in the life-giving present moment awareness. They do not hang on to the past or the future, and they recognize that this moment is as it should be because it is the only moment we really have. That the present is alive. It's alive with the presence of the Spirit, with the presence of God. People with active mastery see the fullness in every moment and embrace it. People with active mastery are non-judgmental. They have relinquished the need to judge others, recognizing that the sinner and the saint are merely exchanging notes. The saint has probably sinned, and the sinner shall one day be a saint. People with active mastery have replaced fear-based behavior with love-based behavior. And finally, people with active mastery see the whole universe as a projection of themselves. And I think that's the key to biological aging. When you have active mastery, you will create an ageless body, and you will experience a timeless mind. A timeless mind is a mind that sees every moment against the backdrop of eternity, even seeing the whole lifespan as a flicker in eternity, as a parenthesis in eternity, as a flash of a firefly in the middle of the night. When you see that, then you see how seriously people take themselves, and that it's all unnecessary. Happiness and health and longevity and bliss and joy are at our disposal if we have active mastery over our lives.
You advocate, of course, the actual use of ancient healing insights from Ayurveda, and I wonder if you might give an example of some of the therapies, for example, panchakarma or diet or something about the doshas.
Panchakarma is a very effective way of removing toxins in the body, and if your listeners call our 800 number, I can send them a lot of material on all this. But panchakarma is a very effective way of mobilizing the toxins from your body. It uses herbal enemas, it uses massage procedures, oleation, to get rid of toxins from the body. People who undergo 1 week of panchakarma can reverse their biological age by almost 3 years in 1 week. And people who do it seasonally, they'll actually experience youthfulness, not only in mind and spirit, but also in the physical capacity of their body. They'll find that every day they find more physical and mental capacity, that they find more energy, they find more alertness, more creativity, more enthusiasm, which are the markers of aging as well, which are non-aging, if you will. So panchakarma is one technique. Then there's the use of herbs that act as powerful antioxidants, which means they remove toxins from your body, the same mechanism. And we practice transcendental meditation and teach meditation to all our clients here and all our guests here as well.
When you use the term seasons, you really mean that there are seasons and that the body responds to these. Maybe you could explain that to our listeners.
As the Earth goes across outer space around the sun, there are four seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and of course winter. Each of these seasons has a certain rhythmicity of biological expression in our own body, because we are like little instruments in a huge symphony, and everything that happens in the cosmos affects us. It's not just us, but all living species. Birds begin to migrate, and you know it's a change of the season. The groundhog comes out of the earth, and you know it's going to be spring. We fall in love and spring, and we get depressed in winter. Our biology responds to these inherent rhythmicities that the universe has. As the Earth spins on its own axis, the cycle of night and day creates another rhythm, and the tides create another rhythm. When we are perfectly tuned in to the rhythms of nature, then we experience health, vitality, joy, and non-aging.
Of course, also use the concept of the doshas, and perhaps people could understand that if you'd explain that for a moment.
Doshas are body types. It just means that we have unique individualities as individuals. Whenever we respond to anything in the universe, we are responding to a self-generated signal, and we respond in a unique way to every signal, whether it's a criticism from your boss or a love note from your lover or a meal at McDonald's, or a traffic jam, or the rainy weather, or a headache, you're responding in a unique way. And how you respond depends on your body type. We know people who look at food and gain weight. We know other people who say, I can eat anything I want and I never gain weight. And the doshas is a method of evaluating your body type. There are approximately 10 body types. And once you know what your body type is, and this is very well explained in my book, Perfect Health, then you can choose a diet, choose the kinds of relationships, the environment, and the behaviors that will be most supporting to you and will create a healthy body and a healthy mind and a spirit that's alive and aware in that healthy body and mind. So the doshas are psychophysiological body types that allow us to find our unique tendencies and to nourish them instead of hurting ourselves.
Dr. Deepak Chopra is my guest. My name is Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. Dr. Chopra, you, of course, always use the term quantum. For a lot of people, of course, quantum mechanics, quantum physics is really far away from reality, and yet you use it in a very pragmatic way. Maybe you could explain to our listeners why you use the term quantum.
The quantum level of reality is the real level of reality. If you look at the human body, you'll find that it's made up of atoms. The atoms are in turn subatomic particles that are moving at lightning speeds around huge empty spaces. And these subatomic particles are not really material things. They are fluctuations of energy and information in a huge void. If you could see the human body as it really is, you'd see that it's mostly empty space. 99.999% of it is mostly empty space. And the 0.0001% that appears material is also empty space. In other words, the whole thing is made out of nothing. So what is this nothing? Is it a handful of nothing, which is just a void? Or could it be the womb of creation? And I would say that today we are living in the midst of the climactic overthrow of the superstition of materialism, which says that the essential material of the universe is non-material, that the essential stuff of the universe is non-stuff, including our body. But it's not just non-stuff, it's thinking non-stuff. And if we get down to it, it's us. We are essentially spiritual beings having a human experience and not human beings who have spiritual experiences. And the moment we shift ourselves to our source, this thinking non-stuff, from there we could create anything we want, including, as I say in my latest book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind.
Dr. Chopra, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for being on Timeless Voyager Radio.
It's always a pleasure, and I hope you'll ask me again.
I will, and once again, to our listeners, if there's something you might like to say, just to kind of spur them on, what would you say?
I'd say, if you get to know who you really are, you could become masters of the universe.
Very well, very succinct. Thank you very much for the interview, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.